Welcome to Witnessing for Jesus. Today we're going to talk about what would happen to you if you died in the next minute. If you're driving down the road or you're at home sitting in a chair and you have a heart attack, where are you going to go? Are you going to be saved and go to heaven or go somewhere else? I want to just have us all think about that today. What would happen? Well, the first thing you need to make sure that you've done is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. In order to do that, you have to repent of your sins. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And now you should say this prayer if you want to become a Christian, if you're not already. Jesus, I thank you for your death and resurrection on the cross. I thank you for doing this for me. I ask you to come into my heart and into my soul and into my life and make me a better person and make me a holy person. I someday want to be up there in heaven with you, Jesus, and I want to be there and I want all my kids to be there. And I just thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. And now if you've said that, whether you're already a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, if you've already said that, then you're a Christian. If you die right now, you're going to go to heaven. But how many of us would want more than that? How many would object to more of what you already have now? And we're really rushing this along with the time we have today. But you've just become a Christian, let's say. Now, how would you like to have more? More of what, do you say? Well, more communication with God, more communication with heaven. You could probably use more power in your experience to learn how to do things, to learn to be patient, to learn to be loving. As it says in 2 Timothy, if we ask God for patience, He'll give it to us. If we ask God for wisdom, He'll give it to us. There's also a lot more power after getting baptized, which you should get done. It's very important to get baptized. And then there's even further power that comes to you as you're going along. It's like getting new coupons to live in this new life of yours. And your next coupon you're going to get is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And that's when God comes into your heart. He changes your heart. He changes your desires. Maybe even some people, He changes their desires for cigarettes or for food or for sex or whatever it might be. He changes their desires. And they put those on a back burner. Doesn't mean that maybe sometime in the future, something might arise and the food would be okay to eat, as long as they lost some weight. I doubt if you'd ever want to smoke a cigarette, since we now know that they cause cancer in most people. And also, I think you would just want to really thank God for everything He's taught you and given you patience, given you wisdom. Peter sums the whole thing up like this on the day of Pentecost. He was there talking to people, and some people came up in Acts 2:37, and they said, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:38, King James Version. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." That's the first thing they're supposed to do. That's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me read that whole verse, Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Many people believe it's important to notice that it says, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, for ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." A lot of people could just put some water on you, maybe, at times, or something in some religions, and they could put some water on you or baptize you, and they don't even mention the name of Jesus Christ, I've heard. But it says here you're supposed to acknowledge that, and that's why Peter said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." People who just say baptism in the name of God, well, you don't know which god they're talking about. It could be a little god of stone or porcelain or something like that. You need to do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And after this verse, Peter said, "For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, and as many as our God would call." Do you have children that you'd like to be saved? Right here in Acts 2:39 it says, For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, and even as many as our God shall call. Acts 2:40 it says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. And he said unto them," after this, in Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's one thing for us to be saved and for us to get our family saved, but we're supposed to be able to help other people too. And the reason is because you want them saved. You don't want them damned. In Mark 16:16, which is the next verse after the one that says, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel," in Mark 16:16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." There's a lot of people that want to skirt around these verses and say, "Oh, I don't want to go to the trouble of all that baptism and all that stuff." But you really need to do this. You need to ask God to give you the extra things that come into life. See, in Mark 16:17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Mark 16:18 says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." In Romans 8:24, it tells why we want to look forward to this salvation. It says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope is not seen. Hope that is not seen is not hope." Romans 8:24, let me read this again. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for?" It's just like a car. Let's say you've been saving money to buy a new car. You're hoping for that car. You're hoping for that car. Once you get the car, it's like here, "Once a man seeth, what is you hope for anymore? You got what you wanted. Once you hope." Romans 8:25 says, "But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we have patience for it." It's like ordering something in the mail, in a way, and that's a bad analogy, but we are hoping for that thing. We don't see it, but we know it's coming to us, and we know we're going to get it one of these days. That's what Romans 8:25 is talking about, for that hope. "But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Yes, we will. Wait for that thing to come in the mail. Wait for that thing to come into our spirit. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now see, when we're praying, you think, "Oh, it's just my prayers. If I don't say this prayer right, maybe God won't answer it." But it says right here in Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself," that's God's Spirit, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, "it makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Somewhere in heaven, somewhere in eternity, the Holy Spirit is there when you're praying, offering up intercessions for you. Romans 8:27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." It's a little confusing sometimes understanding how the Spirit and Jesus and God are all the same person, but they are. And the Spirit is a different time when the Spirit's working in your heart, and it says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." And even if you don't understand this, listen to the last verse here I'm going to read in this section. It's Romans 8:28, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And there's another Bible verse that says, if you're a Christian and you're saved, you are one of the called. You don't want to be here in the end days when these things start happening. In Acts 2:20 it says, The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And a very important verse that goes with this right here. Even at that time when people don't know what to do, Acts 2:21 comes into effect. It's like playing a game of Monopoly and you get a free pass to go to heaven right here, Acts 2:21, and it says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say just specific people. It doesn't say if you got to be saved. It just says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You have to believe that you're saved, and you have to accept the word that Jesus is up there. His grace covers our sins. It's like a judge that somehow he says, "Well, I'm going to have grace and mercy on you today. I'm going to do something graceful to you that's special that I don't have to, and I'm going to have mercy." Acts 15:11 says, "But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." That was the goodness of his heart. He came down here and did that because God wanted him to do it. Romans 5:9 says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, which is Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." In other words, once you're saved, you're not going to have to face that wrath that comes in hell or wherever you think you're going to go. But you want to go to heaven. You don't need to think about those other things. I know people who are of religions that think they'll go to purgatory. Well, from what I've heard about that, that's not a good place to end up. You want to go straight to heaven. Just follow the verses and learn to be a Christian and do the things that God wants you to do. "For if when we were enemies," it says in Romans 5:10, "for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life? For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich up to all that call upon him." Romans 10:3. Another place that tells you, it doesn't say who has to call in the name of the Lord. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever, not a specific person, not a saved or unsaved person. It just says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, how do you do that? The way you call on the name of the Lord is, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart and save me." That's how you call on the name of the Lord. "God, I thank you for sending Jesus down here to die on the cross for me." That's how you call on the name of the Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:24, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." And we're saved from a lot of things in our life. We're saved from evil things, and our desires should start changing once we're saved. Like, we don't want to go to the bar. We don't want to do things evil. We don't want to do drugs. We don't want to have illicit relationships with people. We want to do the things that God wants us to do. We want to not be dead in our sins. We don't want all this stuff to kill us and then send us to hell in our sins. Ephesians 2:5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." I'm going to reread these two verses again. It makes more sense to read them together. "But God, who is," Ephesians 2:4, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us," Ephesians 2:5, "even when we were dead in sins," see, he loved us when we were dead in sins, "has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." The mercy is because they have a good heart, and grace is like the judge up there. He just says, "Okay, your sentence is commuted. Your sentence is over. By grace we're saved." Ephesians 2:6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now that's what's going to happen to you someday. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So as by fire." This is scary. But some people, they don't do very much in their life. And it says here, "If any man's work shall be burned," it might be like, you go through your life, you spent your whole life racing cars, drinking, doing all this stuff, but you get saved at the end. Well, this work isn't really going to be saved in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 3:15, it says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer the law. He shall suffer loss. But here it says, but he himself shall be saved. yet so as by fire. So if you've been a drunk in state all your life, been on drugs, been doing things, illicit relationships, stealing money, 1 Corinthians 3:15 is for you. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Your name will be written in heaven. Hebrews 12:22 says, but ye come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's all the people that are seeing you. It even says a company of angels. All the angels in heaven rejoice when someone gets saved. Hebrews 2:23, this tells about how your name's written in heaven. To the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men that were made perfect. That's what you are now, because your spirits were made perfect by God's mercy and his grace and his mercy on you. Luke 10:20 says, notwithstanding in this we rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now this comes from the fact that the disciples had went out and were praying for people, and they were getting healed. And Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, because they were casting out spirits, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You'll be hated by the world in a lot of cases. There won't be much you can do about it. Jesus said in John 17:14, I have given them the word, and the world hateth them, because they are not in the world, even as I am not in the world. John 17:1, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Now these verses are going to be about how Jesus prayed. See, we're supposed to pray, but here's one where Jesus prayed. Now let me read this again, John 17:1. And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. 17:2, John 17:2. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is still Jesus praying, John 17:3. And this is the life eternal, that they might know that the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:4, Jesus is still praying. I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. See, he finished his work that God gave him to do. How many of us don't finish ours? John 17:5, and now Jesus is still praying. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And here's a clue that Jesus was here before the world was made. John 17:6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world, that they were and that they gavest me, that they kept the word. Jesus continues to pray and says, now that they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me, are free. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which hath given me, for they are thine, which thou hast given me. All mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world. And the bell chimes for your life today. Are you ready? Jesus said in 17:11, for now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou mine own name, who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You need to ask Jesus in your heart. You need to realize once you've done that, you're saved. If you make a mistake, you screw up your whole life. It still says that your works may be burned, but you will be saved. Today, Jesus is watching out for you. Jesus has got your back, and he's going to take care of you. Thank you for tuning in to Witnessing for Jesus today.